BBC presents Raise Alarm with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Laban Brown, Pat Coombs, and starring Ted Ray.
May I have a slice of toast, please, Kitty?
No, Ted, I'm sorry, it's impossible.
Kitty, this is hubby talking. Mm-hmm. And if it isn't, how dare you entertain men friends to breakfast in dressing gowns?
Huh?
I demand a piece of toast forthwith.
All right, Ted. Here's the toasting fork and a slice of bread. Now, all you've got to do is order some coal and get a nice fire going in the dining room there. Go ahead.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I made a perfectly reasonable request. I asked for a slice of toast. Is that too much? But I might have known. The moment of truth. We've reached the crossroads of our marriage. We can either take the tenuous path that leads to a breakup or attempt some sort of reconciliation. May I please have a slice of toast?
I have told you, Ted, it's impossible, and there's a perfectly good reason.
What's that?
That so-called electric toaster, along with a few other things, hasn't been working now for days. And what's more, you haven't lifted one little finger to put them right.
That's it, Annie.
Yes.
I'm no longer the toastmaster. We've come to the crust. I'm in the crux of the matter. Kitty, let me put you in the picture, dear.
Do that.
I slave in an office from, I fluctuate a bit.
Sure.
But I slave in an office.
Yeah.
And you know why I slave in an office? To provide bread for those dependent upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And having provided it, what do I find? No one will toast it for me. In a way, I feel I've been let down.
Oh, just like Mother and me. Honestly, you're enough to drive anybody up the wall.
That's not a drive, it's a putt.
Oh. To get back to the toast, if you want any, you go ahead and fix that toaster. Go ahead.
I certainly will not. I have my dignity.
Huh?
After all, that's what guarantees are for.
Guarantees, the boy says. Well, that ran out years ago, even before you converted it from a gas toaster.
A gas toaster?
That's it.
Well, you could have fooled me. In that case, I will dispense with the toast.
Thanks.
What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that?
Mrs. Ryan!
What's that?
Oh, Mr. Ryan! No, don't. Oh.
What's happened, Rodney? Rodney, boy, what's happened? That nephew of Trumbull's is the bane of my life.
I've lost my leg, Mr. Ryan.
Well, you shouldn't be so careless. Are you sure you had two when you went to bed last night?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Ted. Rodney's talking about his bed.
Oh, the bed.
Yes. Mm. He's probably moved it away from the wall and that leg's fallen off again. You better come down, Rodney.
Oh, dear. Oh, I haven't had a very good night.
Oh.
It all started when a door fell off the wardrobe. And as I was getting out of bed, the leg fell off. I had to be very careful to avoid those loose floorboards as I fell.
Now, listen, the only thing that's broken about you is your voice. You're exaggerating the whole thing. Why, you make our home sound like a...
This should be interesting. I might hear the word I've been searching for.
Please, I heard that.
Yeah.
You're all against me. I know what's going on. I know that things aren't what they should be, but I'll get around to fixing those things.
Now, that should just about coincide with our enlistment in the local Darby and Joan Club.
Do you know what she's talking about, Rodney? Because I don't. It's riddles all the time.
Well, as I see it, Mrs. Ray is hinting that you are an inefficient layabout.
Well, thank you for seeing it so clearly. What am I saying?
Mr. Ray.
Oh, dear.
Lover boy.
Aye, aye.
It's happened.
Good luck.
I'm having trouble with the ringer.
So did Edgar Wallace. I'll say that again. So did Edgar Wallace. Tell me something. What has that got to do with me?
I thought you might repair it, sweetest one.
Now, listen to me. Listen to me, the lot of you. I am neither a ringer roller repairer, a bed setter, or a toaster tinkerer.
Something's got to be done. Me little domain's going to rack and ruin.
Can't blame me for that.
I've got dry rot in me draining board and a leak. A leak in me zinc bath.
Wales forever. But what a tragedy. Anyway, I haven't got time to listen to a lot of complaints about trivialities. I am leaving for the office. Kitty, dear?
Yes, Ted?
Kindly open the dining room window.
Yes. Huh? Well, what's wrong with the front door?
The knob's come off. So I shall use the dining room window, but don't worry, I'll fix the front door. I'll get round to it. In the meantime, good morning all.
Ray.
Come.
Step into my office a minute, please.
Coming, Mr. Trumbull.
Good heavens, Ray. What's that sticking out of your coat pocket?
It's a hyacinth.
Hyacinth?
Hyacinth. It's hyacinth yesterday. It's a very pretty one, too, sir. It's a pretty little hyacinth, a blue hyacinth, a pretty little blue hyacinth. I didn't mean to, but I trod on it as I was climbing out of our dining room window.
How very unfortunate, Ray. But there, you should have done the sensible thing. You should have left by the bathroom window.
Oh, don't be so silly. Bathroom window, Mr. Trumbull, our bathroom is 20 feet from the ground. I think they put it there to stop peeping Toms.
Oh, I'll be a good 20 feet off the ground in a minute. That's to stop raving rays, you know.
Raving rays?
Of all the garbled nonsense I've ever had to listen to, this is the garble most.
You're making up words again, Mr. Trumbull, and very silly words at that. I thought you got out of the habit.
I have decided that there's only one course of action left to me, to snap you out of this lethargy. It's a bold, imaginative stroke on my part, but it might do the trick.
All right, Mr. Trumbull, don't beat about the bush. I can take this like a man. Break it to me gently while I'm writing out my references.
I have decided purely as a temporary measure to give you...
This is like being on the rack. Don't stretch things any further, Mr. Trumbull.
I was about to say, Ray, I have decided to give you a 3-pound rise.
How do you spell excellent character? Well, come to that, exemplary. References are difficult.
A 3-pound rise!
A 3-pound rise. I think I heard it. Please say I heard it, Mr. Trumbull.
You heard it, Ray.
This is wonderful. A rise, Sir Edward. I can't believe it. Mr. Trumbull, can I believe it?
You can believe it, Ray.
Would you believe it? Does this mean, sir, that in future I shall be on the weekly staff instead of being paid a few bob every night as I'm going home?
It does, Ray.
Oh, goody, goody gumdrops.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, sir.
I prefer bullseyes.
It can be arranged.
I look upon this moon akin to holding a carrot in front of a donkey. Oh, what a donkey.
Oh, Mr. Trumbull, you are a witty one. That's very funny. You must keep your Mariah in stitches as well as gin. 3 pounds extra a week. Think what it's going to mean to me, sir. I'll be able to buy a new signal box for my railway. A new skimmer for my hoop. I might go the whole hog and buy a new hoop for my skimmer. Could I have the afternoon off, Mr. Trumbull? I'd like to do some shopping.
The afternoon off?
Please.
You certainly cannot, Ray.
Why not, sir?
This rise is intended purely as an inducement to further effort on your part.
Oh, I see.
Now get your desk. And unless I see a very busy donkey, Bossy will snatch the carrot away.
I don't need that incentive, Mr. Trumbull. I'll work, you see. You've restored my faith in human nature. 3 pounds a week. That's more than Kitty's mother puts on.
Ray!
I was going, Mr. Trumbull. Which is my desk again?
Oh, Ted, that was a very nice gesture. I really do appreciate the flowers.
Think nothing of it, dear.
Well, I certainly do think something of it.
All right.
After all, the last time you bought me a bunch of flowers, my bridesmaid carried them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't time fly?
Yes, Ted.
Still, throw them out now. You've got a new lot. You must appreciate, Kitty, that I would buy you little gifts more often, but of course, on the money Trumbull pays me, it's not very easy.
Oh, I know that, Pat. And, darling, I'm sorry about those little things that went wrong this morning. The toaster, the ringer, Rodney's bed, Rodney's wardrobe, that little cupboard in the corner.
I've no idea you've written them down. Please. But, you know, this is like our early days together, darling.
Yes.
Sharing our little ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
No secrets from each other.
No.
And we've certainly had some laughs.
Yes.
Looking back over the years. Remember when the pipes burst?
Yes.
That little row of icicles formed on the mantelpiece.
And I laughed. Sir?
Yes. And I had to slap your face in the end. You were becoming hysterical. But we've had our good times, and I don't doubt there'll be a lot more in store for us.
I hope so, darling.
Excuse me, lover boy. I was just doing your office flannels in the spin dryer when all
What's all this? What's all this about a spin dryer? We haven't got a spin dryer.
I know, but I've got a bucket out there full of holes, and I swing it round and round my head.
Fiendishly clever. You can have a bath and a spin dryer at the same time. A spin dryer. I go quite pale at the thought of that. But what is all this about?
Well, this flew out your hip pocket. Looks like a pay packet.
What was that? Oh, my pay packet. Fell out of my hip pocket. Oh, look at that. Well, you know, perhaps it's Rodney's. Yes, oh, it says quite clearly, look, R-A-Y, Rodney. Trumbull can't spell for toffee, you know.
Ted, honey, what are you getting so steamed up about? I mean, especially over a little thing like your pay packet.
You're so right, darling. Why should I get steamed up? And it is only a little thing, isn't it?
It is indeed.
I wouldn't call £14.19 and a tenner a little thing.
Well, big mouth.
Neither would I when you come to think. What was that amount again? Ursula, I demand to know.
Oh, and so you shall when you stop shaking me.
Ignore us, dear.
Huh?
Like men do.
Oh.
I'm surrounded by a lot of ignoramuses. Trumbull can't spell, neither can I, and us can't add up.
Just let me have a look at that, Ted. Show it to me. Come on.
No, please. Now, Kitty, you wouldn't want to look at that.
Why not?
I always think that figures make such dull reading. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, they're Jane Mansfield.
Yeah. All right, boy, you can stop hedging now. Uh-huh. So, this is it, huh? You've had a 3-pound rise.
Well, it's just a joke.
Oh, ups and downs, the man said. Well, we're going to have some ups and downs starting right now, babyface.
We are
indeed. You're getting up from that chair, and we're going to put 3 pounds down on some things for the house, Ted.
Well, I was going to tell you, Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
You see, I was going to save the whole thing up until I got a few £1,000 and then give you a surprise.
How about this?
You know, as for you, Urs,
I'll
see you later, instigator.
Well, never mind about Ursula. We're going down to that furniture store on the high street right away.
All right. Bye-bye, little railway signal box. It had lights on it, too. This must be the place, dear. The Endersby Mail Order Mart.
Wow.
Look at all the notices in the window. Eggs and lino laid. Bolsters and parrots stuffed. How painful for a bolster.
Yeah.
And mangles and tables turned. How about that? They're not turning the tables on us.
No.
Let's go in.
All right. Why, my, Ted, have you ever seen such a selection of goods? We want to where to start first.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We certainly won't start with this thing. Huh? It looks like a contemptuous lampstand with a weird-looking shade.
Do you know? My name is Sidney Mincing, and I happen to be the proprietor of this Dish Pans, Frying Pans, and Peter Pans, as it's all on the Never Never Emporium. What can I do for you?
Peter Pan's got it all never. I like that. Well, now, look here. To business. It's like this, Mincing.
Yeah, well, Ted, suppose I explain, huh?
You don't know what you're doing, dear.
Huh?
You've never seen this fella.
Oh.
Tangling with a character like Sid Mincing.
Yeah.
When it comes to fair dealing, he's as straight as a bowl of spaghetti.
I usually let him have his head at this juncture, madam.
Oh,
mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what may Sidney do for you?
Mr. Mincing, it's like this. We've got £3 a week to spend on hire purchase, and for a start, I'd like to look at some beds. Is that all right?
Well, of course you can, Mrs.
Well,
Ray, madam.
Thank you.
Yes, here we are, singles, doubles, and this rather exclusive two-tier model.
Huh?
He's at it again. There is only one bed there, Mincing. Where do the tiers come in?
When you read the price label.
I'll read the riot act in a minute. You deliberately slipped that one in.
Yeah.
Now kindly show us something decent in the way of beds.
Very, very well, sir. Yes, now perhaps you'd like to try this one here.
Very well.
There we are. Now just try that. You're all nice and comfy, are you?
Very nice.
Right.
Yes.
Rock-a-bye, baby, in the bed shop.
I can do without the lullaby. I must admit, though, it's a very comfortable bed.
Yes, and it has the added attraction, of course, of folding flush to the wall like this.
Ted, where's he gone? Where is he?
Oh, I shouldn't worry, Mrs. Wright. Well, now that he's out of the way, perhaps we can get your order settled.
Yes, all right.
You did that on purpose, Mincing. I nearly suffocated against that wall. You should have realized there's no air on a V-spring.
Now we're slipping them in.
Tell me, fellas, does this go on all the time with you two?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Wright.
Really?
All the time, yes. We have some beautiful brownies in our town, haven't we?
Oh, charming.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Now, to get back to business, yes. Of course. Now, for the deposit of a mere £3, mm-hmm. you have a fantastic selection of goods to choose from.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, you have. For example, this, and sometimes E.G.
All we want is a single bed, a draining board, a wardrobe, and a ringer.
Oh, I see. Oh, I'd love to see your bedroom when it's finished. Perhaps you'd like an umbrella stand just to set the whole room off.
I know one thing, Mincing. You've gone off your brolly. These items are for different rooms in the house.
Oh, Ted, please, baby, can we forget all about this and just go home now, quietly?
It's too late now, dear. It's too late. Now, Mincing, what down payment do you want for that lot?
About £5, Bob, and the rest over 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that all? I see, yes. Very good. And let me see. Supposing I gave you £3, three crispy green crackers.
Yeah.
What happens then?
You could completely refurnish your house.
Oh, Ted, that sounds too good to be true.
Quiet. Huh? I have decided to take the plunge.
I'll wrap it up.
Ignoring that,
yes.
My complete rise will go on HP payments.
Yeah.
Every penny I get from Trumbull. Right, Kitty? Start enjoying yourself.
Thank you, darling. I'll try to. I'm a little out of practice, mind you, but I know. I'll start with the bedroom suite.
If you want me, I'll be in the frog and nightgown making some more HP arrangements.
Well, what do you mean by that?
HP? Bouldering half pints.
Oh.
Goodbye, Mincing.
No, please, wait a moment. Not so fast, impulsive one.
My wife can attend to the
dish. I don't care about that. Oh. You haven't heard the enthralling story of a friend of mine who rescued the assistant of a woman enemy spy, a sort of Mata Hari she was.
Yeah.
Now, this fellow, friend of mine, was locked up in a Bastille, and his captors had got him, you see, right by the throat.
I see. A sort of a throat Bastille.
It was not.
Jealousy will get you nowhere, miss.
See, the wave of nausea. Come here. My friend had to go to great lengths, you see, to rescue this assistant of this female enemy spy.
Named?
Mata Hari.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Right.
You will appreciate that he took his life in his hands.
Like we're doing now.
Quite possibly, yes. Well, naturally. After the rescue, my friend was called upon to account for his actions. But, as he explained, it was merely a case of...
Mincing, you ought to be put up against a whitewashed wall for this.
I know.
Let's have it, come on.
Oh, it's horrible this week. But my friend still explained his actions by saying...
Yes.
He said, I had to do it, you
said. Why?
Because, he said, any Mata Hari is a mate of mine.
Oh, Ted, I'm still in a daze. To think we've got all this fabulous furniture for £3 a week, while all of a sudden we've got a home.
Thank you. All of a sudden, what do you mean? Is that sarcasm? I must admit it's made a slight difference.
Yes.
Of course, with this embossed wallpaper and the thick carpet, it has made the lounge a bit smaller. I've already had to tie 2 knots in the electric light flex.
Mr. Ray, dream lover.
Oh, give over. Always at it.
I know, but it's like working in a palace out there in the kitchen. What with me blue plastic draining board and the 6-volt super het all-electric squeegee. Oh.
You deserve it, Urs. At last you've got what you want.
No, not quite. But there, affairs of the art have to take second place to draining boards and pot scourers. And I adore me lovely egg whisk. Ooh, just wait till we get some eggs.
One thing at a time, Urs.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought this was 49 Ennisby Crescent. We must all be in the wrong house.
Don't be so sarcastic. Rodney, what's the matter with you, boy? I've just made 1 or 2 slight improvements.
Oh, this is nothing, Rodney. You wait till you see your room. You're going to love that.
Oh, that reminds me, dear. I think I'll turn in.
All right, Ted.
I can't wait to get between those silk sheets, switch on the monogrammed electric blanket, and idly glance at the 4 posters round our bed. I'll be so snug I won't even notice that cold safety pin that holds my pajama trousers up.
Well, I think I'll go to bed early as well. I haven't slept too well the last 5 months.
5 months? You poor devil. Sleep, my son, and enjoy it. How about you, Kitty? Sleepy byes, darling?
Why, you bet, darling, yes. We waited a long time for this, Ted.
I won't need rocking tonight. Oh, dear, I hope Trumbull's out.
Ray!
He's in. Did you call Mr. Trumbull, dear kind Mr. Trumbull?
I might have known this would happen. Here am I, generous to the point of foolhardiness with you, and it has no effect. You used to creep in here at 11 in the morning, and now what's happened? Oh, you've excelled yourself today, Ray. It's 2:30 in the afternoon.
It is? It is, sir. 2:30, what do you know? So that explains the queue outside the Regal.
You'll be starting a queue at the Labour Exchange before long.
What's showing there this week, sir? Love on the dole. But I can explain everything, Mr. Trumbull. You see, well, after your most generous rise, sir, I put £3 down on a bed.
And I suppose it's rolled off and you've been searching for it all the morning, Ray.
It rolled off. Oh, you're so funny. You should be on the radio. Very funny. I'm laughing. Look.
I'm not laughing, Ray.
It's a £3 laugh.
And you won't be much longer. The carrot is being withdrawn. It's going to another donkey. I mean, it's going to Rodney. I should possibly have warned you, Ray, that this rise is a floating one. Each week it will go to the most efficient member of my staff.
Oh, I see. It isn't really mine. It's a kind of... Yes, I... But supposing there isn't a most efficient member, sir, suppose... Does it go on to the jackpot?
Shut up! Rodney?
Yes, Uncle?
I have some good news for you, Rodney, my boy.
Crawler.
As from today...
Crawler!
I'm increasing your salary by £3 a week.
Crawler!
And what's more, I'm confident that you won't let me down.
Like a pair of braces.
Thank you, Uncle. Gosh, what can I do with £3 a week?
Yes, you might well ask. I've got news for you, Rodney. All of a sudden, your rent at my house has suddenly shot up by £3 a week.
That's blackmail. Why should I pay £3.15 a week? I could get a decent place for less than that.
Ray, I overheard that. It's a deliberate extortion. If you so much as raise Rodney's rent by 1 shilling, you will have me to contend with.
Very nice. Go on. Grind me into the ground. Turn the knife. Well, hear this. Hear this. Edward Ray is not beaten yet. I'm going to work on this. You live to regret the day I was born. Or something like that. But I know one thing. That £3 rise will be coming back to me so fast. more cup of tea and I'll be off to the office. I know it's only 6 o'clock in the morning, but I can have a snooze in the broom cupboard before trouble gets there. I've left a note for Kitty, in case she thinks I've eloped with somebody.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Roy.
You got a cup of tea for me?
Rodney! Mm-hmm. Rodney! Hmm? What are you doing up at 3 a.m? I couldn't sleep. I've just come down for some warm milk. Yes, that's it. I like that bit.
What? I thought it was later than that.
Go back to bed, my boy. You've another 5 hours, yes?
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Ray. Oh, we'll go back to bed, I think.
I'm too smart for that boy. Poor Rodney. By the time he gets to the office today, that £3 will be back in my pocket. I'll be the efficient one. Now, off I go. There's no doubt about it. You've got to be up early to catch Edward Ray. I'll prove myself to trouble.
Are you sure, Rodney, that Mr. Ray was down here at 3 o'clock in the morning drinking hot milk?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Ray.
I thought it was funny myself.
Funny? It's downright weird. I don't know what that little genius is up to, but he'll be back.
Oh. Kitty.
Yes, Ted?
Rodney. Well, don't look at me like that. The pair of you.
Tell me, darling, what happened?
Well, I wanted to get my rise back from Rodney.
Yes.
So I played a mean trick. Huh? I altered all the clocks and sent Rodney back to bed. But I forgot to alter the calendar.
Uh-oh.
I've just found out that today is Sunday. I'm going to turn in again.
That was Razorlock with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Laidman Brown, Pat Coombs, and starring Ted Ray. The program was written by Bernard Botting and Charles Hart and produced for the BBC by Leslie Bridgemont.